Thank you both for being here very much. Bob, the last time we spoke,
yes,
one of the things we were talking about at the end was my relationship.
And it was a very touching moment.
It was.
A very touching moment.
Actually, now that relationship is no more, and I am no longer with that person.
How long had it been since you were with her?
I was with, you're assuming it was a her?
I'm assuming that. For the purpose of this conversation, it could be a him as well.
Yes, of
so
course.
So let me rephrase the question. How long were you with him or her?
No, I was with her for a little over a year and a half. And that's actually exactly why, thinking about what we were going to talk about, I realized not only am I looking for some kind of answer, I think other people are as well. And I think at the end of the day, every person, whether they're older or younger, man or woman, they're going to deal with a form of breakup or something of that sort. And so it's all about how we can get through that feeling of feeling like a failure, feeling unattractive, feeling like we have an identity crisis, feeling like all of this has completely brought us
very good points
to shambles. Correct.
You're right.
Yeah.
And you know what? If you think about it holistically, pulling back to 35,000 feet, everything comes to an end at some point.
Correct.
Every meal, every workout, every podcast, just like every relationship, at some point comes to an end. Thing is, it's the how.
Yeah.
It's the how, right? So and how do you deal with the output of that? And how do you deal with the after of whatever? So when this podcast ends, we're going to walk away with hopefully good feelings and say it was a good experience, right? So can you say that about relationships? Depends how it was like, right? So each one has a different kind of how. But in general, you have to deal with it, right? Life goes on.
But Bob, we're not alone in this. So we have first Jessica.
Hi.
Jessica, you, of course, are someone who has dealt with many hardships and many successes, but I would assume you have obviously, like all of us, been in a relationship of your own and you have dealt with something like this?
Yeah, two relationships in my lifetime.
Yeah.
And they're both over.
Right.
And honestly, I'm happy alone.
You are happy alone. So you, and this is, Bob, this is actually why she is one of our guests. Jess, how do you feel about relationships in general? Do you think they bring something beneficial? Do you think they're a good thing? What is it about them that you...
I think that for certain people, it really suits them.
Yeah.
And they find the person that they really click with, and they're willing to compromise. But I find that I'm really an independent person, and oftentimes I don't necessarily feel like compromising, so maybe that is selfish, but I'm happier alone. I can go to bed when I want. I can get up when I want. I don't have to worry about anybody else. My weekend is mine to plan. There's no, like, other family gatherings that you have to take under consideration.
Right.
That's the upside.
Yeah.
So should we live in a world where we're all alone?
Why?
Is this what you're
advocating?
I'm
not alone, though, because I have tons of friends.
Ah,
I have a super active social life. Every
nice
evening
dimension.
I get to plan tons of, like, fun things to do.
So relationships versus friendships, right?
Mm-hmm.
At what point do you feel like you ever seek to have that companionship? And do you ever feel like there is a dependence for someone else to be there to kind of compliment you and to help when times can get tough?
Well, I think that when times get rough, I do have really close friends that I can reach out to.
Right.
And it won't always necessarily be the same close friend because I have, like, a lot of them, and sometimes they're busy with their own lives. But because I have a lot of close friends, but, like, three or four, there's always somebody that you can reach out to and talk to.
Mm-hmm.
And otherwise, like, I have my mom, I have my brother, I have people that I can talk to.
So relationships are friendships, and friendships are relationships too, no? In a way?
Sort of, yeah. It's
yeah.
Just relationships, you just add, like, the sex part.
Okay, so you writing that down, Ryan?
The sex part.
You're taking good notes. I'm so happy, you know? The sex part.
Does that mean that the only boundary between having a friendship and a partner, life partner, love partner?
A relationship.
A relationship?
Yeah.
Is it just the sex that differentiates the two?
No, I think it's really like the when you have a partner, you're also planning your entire life with them. So, like, all the things that you want to do in your life, you have to take them into consideration.
Right.
If you want to do a career move, if you want to have a child, if you want to get a pet, everything you want to do, you have to take them into consideration.
Yes.
Whereas if you just have really close friendships, then you can have that closeness with people, that intimacy, but you can still build your own life yourself.
Write down these two words as you're taking good notes. shared commitment.
Why should I write them down, Bob?
Why? Because I think that's what she's talking about.
Okay.
When you're in a relationship, you share things, including deep commitments, for long periods of time. So it's not just the sex. Shared commitments.
And you think that's something that needs to last long term? And more importantly...
It takes a lot of work.
That's it.
But
sorry, I was supposed to be letting you talk. I'm the host. I'll just answer all my own questions. Go ahead. Is it that?
Well, I find like people have... We have this ideal, like we want to get married, we want to have kids, we want to find the perfect partner.
But exactly, who sets that ideal?
Society. We all like are grown up and thrown this in our face, like this is what you're supposed to eventually aim towards, even if you don't do the steps in the same order, because our generation is a little bit different from our parents. We're still supposedly aiming towards the same steps.
Mm-hmm.
But
very true.
What if that's not what interests us?
What if you can remove all those societal chains? And then all of a sudden, you're just free to do whatever you want, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's it. At the end of the day, can't you just let that go? Can't we not, as a society, just let these norms and conventions slide? What is it that dictates the fact that we need to have a certain type of relationship? Which then, I think I'm going to allow this to segue into Tina.
Hello.
Hi. you are someone who... has I also dealt with these kinds of relationships before.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about it when it comes to rules and conventions that have been placed on you? At one point, do you feel like there are boundaries in place, or do you feel like you're free to reign and you're able to do whatever you want?
I mean, I'm definitely free to do whatever I want because I'm also single by choice, and I am open though to meeting the right person, but I would say that the last relationship that I had, which was a real, you know, it was a couple of years, and it was an engagement. It just never, the wedding itself never happened. So a couple of months before the wedding, it was called off. And that kind of kept me numb for a little bit, to be honest. I was a bit, like, almost like a robot, just sort of going through the motions for about, I'd say 2 years. And then finally my heart started to feel a little bit again and I felt more human again. But just in relation to what she was saying, I will admit that for a long time having, you know, we call it society, but I think what we really mean are the friends and the family and everybody that they want the best for you, and they're assuming that the best for you is to do what the tradition is, which is you gotta find that right person. You're supposed to then get married, and then the idea after that is to then have children. And it's what I think most of us have been brought up to believe is the norm. And so if we don't have that, and in my case, I'm 44 years old now, I think people start to look at you like, well, what's wrong with you? You know, why are you not with somebody, or why don't you have kids? That kind of thing, because there's still that expectation that goes along with what people think you're supposed to be doing at a certain point.
Absolutely. Because you mentioned about, was it 2 years of numbness? Is that what you said?
Yeah, honestly.
Could you describe that? What is then the thought process going through those 2 years? What's going on in Tina's head?
I was building my business. I literally was so focused on building my business that all I did was I threw myself into my business. I threw myself into my clients. I'm a trainer. I put my clients first. I literally bent over backwards. I would start at 5 o'clock in the morning. I would finish at 9 o'clock at night. I did it for probably about the first year. And then I was starting to feel like I was getting a bit of a burnout. And I also realized that a lot of that was to just not have to deal with the real mourning process that one would go through when a relationship ends. And it is a mourning process.
And I guess I'm asking is what, for you outside of work, what was that process? How did things come back? Were there flare-ups? Did you feel like, you know, there were some days you couldn't get out of bed? Were there days where you would see a car and it would remind you of that person? What is the thought process behind that mourning period?
I'm a machine, Ryan. I always get out.
I have no doubt.
I'm a machine.
Oh, geez.
I was extremely, extremely devastated by what happened, but one of my strengths is that I'm able to pull through things that I have to do, even if inside I'm suffering. So I showed up for work every single day. I went to the gym as much as I could. I you know, found time to go out with friends. I tried to live my life, even though deep inside I was hurting for a while. And then that numbness really came when a lot of the sadness went away. I passed the anger stage as well. And by numbness, what I mean is I was not, allowing anybody else really to enter my life. You know, love was not really a possibility in my heart. I was just sort of, I didn't miss anybody except for my mom who lives far away. It's almost like that feeling of love had just sort of left me, you know? Mm. And that's really what I mean by numb. If I was angry about something that happened that day, I'd be angry. I was not totally numb in that sense. But just in terms of love, I felt like my heart was just frozen in time.
So that means there wasn't a dependence on that other person despite the hardship.
On that other person?
Yeah.
No.
Well, probably a lot of anger and resentment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Initially, of course.
Initially.
Until you realize that you're more important than the other person. And it takes a little bit of time, especially after 2 years. You know, you become part of that person's life. Exactly as you were saying before, right? You become part of that shared commitment. And now it's broken.
But I think
so
also for myself is I'm a very spiritual person. I'm a believer in God. So for me, that was really my foundation and my rock.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know how faithful I was during that period because I was so angry and I was so upset that for a little while I felt like everything was happening for me. Or I should say happening to me.
Yes.
And then I realized that it was happening for me.
Mm.
Like this person, he's great in his own way. We were just not a good match.
Okay.
And it was just not meant to go any further.
So I got to ask the question, is that do you think all this happened for the right reason?
Yeah, 100%.
Looking back at it.
Absolutely.
Of course not in
doubt.
The first few days or hours. Of course not.
There's
but looking
no
back at it today, maybe it's for the best for everyone.
I'm 100% certain that
of
it
that.
Was. And
okay.
I think that's also why I have no animosity now. Like, we're friends. We're actual friends. And I can spend time in this person's company and I don't feel hostile or angry.
Wow.
All of that is gone.
That's very interesting, you know, for somebody to be with somebody for 2 years in a relationship and then see them as a true friend. Somebody you can confide in again and somebody who you can speak to again. That's a... takes quite a bit of courage.
Is that what made the relationship special in the first place?
The friendship underneath?
Yeah.
The underlying friendship?
Well, we were friends before we actually got together to date. So
okay.
That was definitely something that we had as a base before we ever decided to explore anything further. But I wouldn't even say that that's what, you know, really kept us talking to each other afterwards. I just found that it was just better for me to forgive and move on. And I think too many people, they carry this anger around for so long, but it does them more harm than it does the person that they're angry with. So I was finding peace and just letting it go, and it was easy. It was easy to talk after that.
And what is that period of time? Approximately. There's no exact day, but there's that moment when you started feeling again, as you say. It was a very good description, by the way. I felt like I was there with you all along as you described that process of numbness, and then the feeling started. Like, I imagine like grass that's yellow and then the spring is a little green, that
absolutely.
First green that you described it exactly like that. That's how I painted it.
Well, that's actually how it felt to me.
Okay.
It literally felt like that to me.
So what was my question again, Ryan? It was
how long
does it take for that first green sprout to grow?
It's really relative. I know some people who have broken up with people years ago and they can't believe that I'm able to be friends with this person. And I can't believe that they're still holding on to a grudge that's 10 years old.
I know.
Right? So for everybody, it's different.
The spiritual aspect really helps there.
It really helps me.
Yeah.
It really seems to be the guiding force there with you, because for some people that have it or not, I think it can really guide a person into or out of that numbness, like you said. And it's clear that, Bob, wouldn't you agree?
It's huge, but it's not an easy power to just, you can't just one day say, I want it.
No, exactly.
It takes time to believe it and to feel it and all of that. It's another state, right? The meditative state. It's not the same state that we're in right now.
Right.
It's not in the same space of concentration. It comes at another level, I think.
But believe me, it's not that I had every single day this faith and I knew that this was for a reason. It wasn't like I went through period of time, you know, thinking that.
Right.
But I also knew that I was a believer that it was for the best because I, I, I didn't want to see myself as a victim of this. I didn't want to carry that on my shoulders.
You've remained friends today.
Yeah.
But if I push the timeline back to the moment where you split, and there must have been an argument or a catalyst that brought that about.
Mm-hmm.
How can you compare these two time zones? There was a lot of animosity at one point, which led to, I can't see you anymore right now, right?
Yeah.
We're not going to get married.
Yeah.
And then at some point you said, okay, I can hang with him again.
Mm-hmm.
So what are the, it's very dichotomous what I'm saying. So how can you, what were the events like at that moment in time?
When it actually happened?
Yeah.
Well, when it actually happened, I was really shocked because it's not as if there was a series of big arguments that led to the breakup.
There was not, okay.
It was just what he was feeling on the inside, which I didn't know.
Okay.
So it was the biggest surprise of my life.
Okay.
And of course, in the details, I had to return the wedding dress, I had to return my bridesmaids' dresses, I had to call
must have been awful.
And
I can't even think about it. I can't barely even think about it.
And it was an overseas wedding, in fact.
Oh.
So all my guests had bought their tickets to go, but there was no wedding to go to.
This is like a caravan that had reached almost full steam, you know? And then, but well, everybody always asks this question, what about the engagement ring?
Yeah, of course. The engagement ring is actually, I still have to sell it.
Okay.
It's just sitting
there. Wow.
Okay. That's a heavy question.
That
that's
is a
heavy
that
question.
Is, wow,
yeah,
but
yeah.
That's
it's a considerations,
it's
right?
It's not an answer I expected. Wow, that's amazing.
Anyway, I'm very very impressed by this friendship because forgive and forget is very easy to say on the microphone.
Yeah.
Trust me, it's not so easy in real life, you know?
I have to 100% agree. I'm curious,
can
though,
you see yourself as friends again with your ex? Sorry to interject, but I thought
you,
ask that.
You know what? You're asking me. I still work with the person.
Well, do you?
Oh, yeah. I see her every Monday. It's funny because before I had been seeing this person, I had been seeing someone that I also worked with, and it ended very, very abruptly. And so then I had to work with this person again. And so that very first time, and I don't know if this has happened to you, Tina, or you, Bob, but when you work with that person again for the first time, especially that first time since there's been that disconnect, it is probably the most painful, wretched thing you could go through, especially as the person who's been broken up with. So you get there, and the worst thing was that I was there earlier, and I knew she was coming in at 5. So you can imagine you're all nervous. You're starting to, you know, get this ball of fire almost that was hitting me. Like, oh my God, she's gonna show up, and everyone else had to leave, and I'm in charge, and I have to close the store, and you know, what if there are customers, and we have to help each other? It turned out it was an even worse situation. No one showed up that night, at all. Yeah.
Just you and her alone
just
in the store.
Just her and I alone in the store for 4 hours doing nothing.
Come on in the bin.
Luckily, I do have, and in a way always will have, a network of support and friends,
okay,
of which I am very grateful, that intermittently changes depending on how
nice
you feel.
It's very nice all what you're saying, but you haven't at all answered my question.
I'm getting there. Oh, I'm getting there.
Oh, yeah? Okay, first of all, do you even remember the question?
Absolutely.
What
does it feel like when you actually work with the person?
No, that was not my question. My question was, can you be friends with your ex?
Okay. Despite the fact that we worked together, we got through it. And so I work with the person that I recently have been broken up with or broke up with. And despite that, contrary to what Tina said before, she and I, what really did gel us together was the fact that we were such good friends. But I felt like she was the person, and to this day probably still is, one of the only people that I could truly talk to about anything and everything. I think with me, we all have different life experiences and circumstances. Mine is still very fresh. So for me, that is another pain in and of itself.
We're coming now full circle.
Yeah.
I was very impressed by what Tina said because it didn't happen right away. It took a certain period of time and spirituality and a self-discovery.
Yeah.
Where this is not happening
right
because of me or to me.
Right.
It's for me. I'm going to take the control.
Yeah.
You're more fresh in this. 5-6 weeks, pretty fresh.
It's about 2 months, yeah.
Okay. Could you be friends with your ex?
It's always something that I aspire to. Because
okay.
I don't think it's good to have animosity in your life. I think
yes.
It's better to be on good terms with everybody.
Yes.
And I think that for sure, if at one point they were really important in your life, then you have to respect that, and there
mm-hmm.
probably is still something there, even if it's
right.
not romantic.
So how long has it been?
It's been about 6 months.
Okay.
I would say, since it's
okay.
Over.
How long did the relationship last?
A year and a half.
Okay.
Did you talk to that person again since the last 6 months?
Yeah.
Okay. What was that like?
In the beginning, it was good. We slowly became friends again.
Okay. So it's possible, see? We slowly became friends again.
Yeah, became friends. Hung out. The activities that we both enjoyed doing when we were together, like hiking and, you know, going out for
dinner.
That's
so cool.
Stuff like that. And, of course, there was a bit of a sexual component sometimes. But it's over now because he decided that he could not be friends with me if I was seeing other people.
So it's the someone else.
Correct.
It's the someone else factor here we're talking about.
Yeah.
Basically. Can I come back to you? Because how would you feel if you knew he was going out with somebody else?
When we were together?
No. After. We're talking about
after.
The after.
After.
He breaks up. No, during, of course. I mean, no.
You're speaking about the person that I was with that I was engaged to?
Correct.
He was with somebody else.
Oh my God, during.
During and after.
Wow, I don't even know how to divide it now, because if it happened during, it happened after as well.
It opens up a whole new ballpark.
This is a whole new ballpark. One that we'll be right back after this commercial break.
But yeah, so can you... So again, we've been talking about the component of, you know, it ends, you're with someone else.
Yeah.
How was it dealing with the fact that those two components intermingled?
Correct.
Well, it was obviously a shock. I mean, the whole entire thing was a shock. Mm-hmm. You know, I was dealt shock after shock after shock.
So you didn't know?
No, I mean, I didn't know. He did confess. And actually, that was part of the reason why the marriage the marriage never happened.
Right.
And that's another reason why I think it was for the best.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Because you wanted somebody who can commit and make a shared commitment with you for the long term.
Mm-hmm.
And he could not commit to you even during the relationship, during that brief 2 years.
What do you think got him to feel that need to be with someone else while he was with you? What was missing?
Oh, I can't speak on his behalf. I don't know.
Right. Okay. It's incredibly difficult. It's hard to understand and put yourself in that other person's shoes. I know that's what...
But I think that's how she got out of it, is not thinking about that.
Oh, yeah.
It's not about that person.
Mm-hmm.
Because the only thing you control in life is what you control.
Absolutely.
Correct.
And you need to stop thinking that you can control what's outside your sphere.
And it can also drive somebody crazy, right? The breakup is fresh, and the person's with somebody else, and all you do is you've got that monkey mind telling you all these things about, you know, oh, they're with her right now, and then it's obsessive to get on Facebook and social media and see the posts and the pictures and what they're doing. And I did not want to drive myself crazy like that. I mean, there were certain steps that I took in order to move on quicker, because I refused to let that be my situation.
Absolutely.
Here.
Those steps being not... checking on him, not seeing what
Absolutely.
He was doing.
Don't make any assumptions.
Yeah.
Right.
Do we all remember the four agreements of Don Miguel Ruiz?
No, please enlighten us.
You guys don't know the four...
I do have the book, but I
you do have the book?
The four
well, one of them is don't make assumptions, which is don't make assumptions what he's doing and why he's doing it and all that.
Yeah.
And the other three are fully, fully applicable here. Be impeccable with your word.
Mm-hmm.
Don't take anything personally. Don't make assumptions and always do your best.
There you go.
That's your practical guide for living life. So when you fall in that trap of, what's the other person thinking? Get out of it, because it's all assumptions. If that, then this, if this, then that, and so on. The monkey mind comes
mm-hmm.
out.
Mm-hmm.
So you gotta focus back on yourself, which is what you did.
Yeah.
And what about, sorry.
But I think spirituality also guides that. Very much so, because I think that's the precipice, not the precipice, the base.
I think it's self-control a bit, self-discipline.
Oh yeah, that too?
And because, you know, she's a personal trainer, she does have that self-discipline component.
That's true.
At the end of the day, it does come down, and I'm sure we can all agree, it comes down to mental fortitude.
Mm.
It comes down to how you as a person are able to separate yourself from that identity as a duo, and to then reclaim that idea of solo or individualistic identity, which is something that I was struggling with for a while, and I wasn't even sure if I had my own identity. I felt like I had lost a part of my identity by the end, because we as a couple were dealing with something traumatic, and while it wasn't directly affecting me, because it directly affected her, I then was indirectly affected through her, and to see her suffer and to see her family go through a traumatic experience, it made me feel the pain, and the blows were equally going to me as they went to her. And then you can almost feel it. I'm not an empath, but I definitely could almost sense that feeling of despair and a loss of hope and the decline of the mental state, and more importantly, the decline of mental fortitude. So I think the most important thing, which is why, Tina, your story is amazing, is your ability to rebuild yourself and, more importantly, reclaim your identity.
And your mental fortitude. If
correct.
I can steal your
yeah,
words.
No, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
That's why she said she was numb.
Yeah.
I think that's another way of describing the lack of mental fortitude.
Mm-hmm.
You're just numb. You just can't feel anything.
It's funny. I was actually talking to a friend of mine a while ago, and he showed me this TED talk by a renowned psychologist named Guy Winch, and he talks about how to fix a broken heart. And it's funny that we bring up these different stories, because he tends to he talks about the idea that your emotional resources that you have to get through something like a physical injury, I mean, he talks about someone who goes through cancer treatments, who breaks a leg, they then have the network of support, they then have the emotional and mental fortitude to be able to get through that. But then the moment someone leaves them, it is like a whole different kind of pain that then brings them into this pit of anxiety, depression, and most importantly, where they lose themselves. And it's almost like an addiction. And then he even goes on to state that when you deal with a certain kind of heartbreak, essentially you're going through the same brain mechanisms in your brain with withdrawal, but more importantly, much like that of anyone who's addicted to opioids or any other kind of drug, which I find is incredibly fascinating. Essentially, the same person that's dealing with a physical withdrawal can also deal with the same thing if someone has left them and they have that emotional void that is in them, which I find incredibly interesting.
Because every time, let's say after a relationship is over, you go and look at their Facebook, you go and stalk them, you're hitting that dopamine rush or whatever neurotransmitter it is. So you are still addicted.
Yeah.
Whereas when you cut it off, yeah, you are going through withdrawal.
Right.
Absolutely.
And you have to have the willpower to go through it and to do it and to re-become you.
Right.
So what do you recommend? Not to go on their Facebook?
I think, honestly, you need to do what you feel you need to do.
That's good
if you
advice.
Think that you need to go look, but don't go look every 5 minutes. You have to allow yourself to be reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be sad and eat your vat of ice cream? Do it. Don't do it every night of the week, though.
Okay.
I check about once a week.
You do?
Yeah.
And once. If you see
and what do you see there?
Nothing.
Sorry.
Nothing. I just keep an eye. Honestly, I haven't in a very long time, but before it was, I would keep an eye maybe.
So what are you doing? What are you looking for?
Well, I think for me it was knowing that this person, again, because we came
you
out
were
of
very close. Yeah.
We were very close, and she dealt with a very traumatic event.
Okay.
And so I think when you love someone, and it is unconditional, well, then you still want to make sure that that person is okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, Tina and Bob, when you had your discussion before about that anger, sure, there's anger, but for me, it is in no way afflicted or directed at the person themselves.
No.
It is at the situation. It is at the circumstances, because you think in the end, well, maybe you're better off with that person, but it doesn't matter, because that's not what's going to happen in the almost very like future ever, you know. So for me, it comes down to, well, you just want the person to be okay. You want to make sure, without them knowing it, you want them to know that they're always going to be, you know, in good hands. And if there's something you can do about that, fantastic. But at the end of the day, it's not your responsibility.
And that's why you're going on our Facebook? What are you looking for at that moment in time?
You're looking
what
for
are
the,
you trying to
you're
fulfill?
Looking for the well-being of the person.
Oh, that's what the answer
that's
is?
It.
No.
That's it.
Okay, contest it.
No,
contest it with
I
the
think
truth.
Sometimes you're just looking to see, like, what they're doing. Or
thank
do they
you
look
for
better?
Telling
do
the
they
truth.
Look happy?
At least three of us at this table are telling the truth.
Well, I think that's where I was at maybe a couple of weeks ago, but now I'm nowhere near close to there. I can say that absolutely honestly. I'm not at a point today,
yes.
I even have said last week, 2 weeks ago, I was at a point where I wasn't looking just to stalk and see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But now I simply want nothing but the best for this
person.
But
how does Facebook show somebody's well-being?
Well, I think it doesn't really matter. I mean, you know, we have mutual friends. Sometimes you talk to the mutual friend, you say, is everything okay? And that, it could be that. It doesn't have to be Facebook. It doesn't have to be any
but
of the social media.
But you can ask Jess how she's doing, right? You can just ask
that's
Jess.
Right. That's right.
I'm just worried about her. Can you just check her out? You don't need to go on the Facebook for that.
No, that's right. That's exactly right. But at the end of the day...
I'm going to get you to confess.
Right now,
we still have 42 minutes on the clock. I know why you're going on the Facebook.
No, but honestly, right now, like I said, I'm not someone who is constantly actively looking at what that other person is doing. What I have done is a bit of the approach of Tina or what Jess was talking about,
yes.
In that I have to do my own things that make me content with myself.
Correct.
Because
correct.
The honest truth, the dead honest truth,
yes.
is that by the end, because of the constant anxiety I felt, because I could tell that because of this experience, my relationship had effectively changed forever, and I knew that it was likely going to end. And so then by the end I was walking on eggshells because I was trying to make it work because I could see that this person was struggling. So you do everything in your power to make it, you know, at even footing, but you can't always. So then because things are kind of swept under the rug, well yeah, then you might look on the Facebooks or you might ask friends. Yeah, you're right, you're absolutely right. But a week or two or three passes by and you realize, you know what, at the end of the day, it is a shitty situation. It fucking sucks. But you just want the best for this person because that's, I think, what unconditional love is. So do I ask a mutual friend now how they're doing? Absolutely. Am I checking their Facebook or am I constantly trying to figure out what they're doing while I'm not with them? No.
Okay.
No, absolutely not. And I think that is the prime focus of how you get through that hardship.
Bob's not convinced.
Not at all.
you
can't BS me.
What are you thinking?
What am I thinking? I think it's the two ladies here are thinking, which is that you just want to know that after the breakup, what's she up to? And I think you even slipped it in because you even said it hurt so much when I found out that she actually might be going out with somebody else. And the pain of that was evident. I felt it. I felt your heart break knowing that. And knowing especially that she kind of told me that she didn't have enough space in her heart for me at this time for whatever reason. Reason X.
It has been... I think I've already reconciled that.
Okay, good.
And I think I'm at a point now where I just need to make sure that I am in a winning state.
Okay, time to focus on you. But can you be friends with her?
I think in the future, yeah.
Okay.
I think I can. But in the meantime, when you go through a period where you haven't gotten a win in a long time, you need a win.
Ooh, this is an interesting concept.
No, but you
can ask... What is a win?
Well, look, one of the things I do... Every day I have to constantly work out.
That's
every
fantastic.
Day I need to be working on what we're doing now. Every day I need to be playing music. I need to be doing something in school. I don't know if Tina or Jess, you can speak to this, but you need to, in order to get through this, focus on things that maybe can.
I think that's what Tina's story was all about.
Mm-hmm.
She built her business off this.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yep.
To a point where, I mean, the only thing then is that later on you said you burnt out.
Mm-hmm.
You said after about a year you burnt out. I'm trying to avoid that because
mm-hmm.
you don't want to put too much.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm at a point where I'm just making sure I overexert myself in every category so that I know that at least I'm making sure that I am getting my win and I'm getting through this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people that might listen might think you have to win the breakup.
Oh,
such a thing as winning the breakup.
I don't understand that expression.
Well, a lot
do you understand it?
I saw it on a TV show once.
Explain it for us.
Where one ex-partner is
yes.
more successful after
yes.
the breakup because they're happier or whatever, and
okay.
you're winning the breakup, whereas you're still single
correct.
And wearing sweatpants.
Interesting.
And that's not what I...
And I kind of imagine that, but I want to see the raw KPIs, the raw data of
right.
what a win is.
But
it's an interesting concept.
I wasn't even...
So you really need the win.
But I don't need that win. That's exactly what I'm trying to say. I don't need that win, but
okay.
before...
You'll win from somewhere else.
Right, but before... Coming in today to talk to you three, I spoke to a lot of people, you know. And
regarding what?
Regarding relationships and people that they have been with in the past.
Okay.
And irrationally, Bob, a lot of these people,
yes.
despite the fact that they're doing better, want that win. They want that breakup win. They want to know that that other person is going to shit irrationally. And it's not okay.
No. I'm not saying no, I don't agree with you, but I think that you win the breakup when you don't care about winning the breakup.
Exactly. Yes.
That's the win.
Yeah.
When you can completely put it out of your mind and say, go ahead.
Well, that's it. You take the focus off of that person and you put it back on yourself. Mm-hmm. And when
that's
you realize it has nothing at all to do with the other person.
That's it.
And that's what I was getting at. It doesn't have to do with the other person. It has to do with you.
Mm.
And your goals, your dreams, your projects that you're working on.
Yeah. Exactly.
That you're going to make it happen without her or despite her.
Yeah, right?
Because it's over. You don't have that shared commitment anymore.
Right.
You were working on it before they were there, during they were there, after.
Right.
You were you continuously.
Right. And I think the thing is, though, is that some people hold on to the idea that, you know, maybe the person will come back. Relationships do come back.
Oh, yeah. I mean we have to enter that chapter, you know.
Right.
There are relationships that reconcile and even Jess and Tina spoke of that a little bit, right? You've come to peace with them.
Right.
So you have a friendship with them, which is kind of a relationship without the sex.
Mm-hmm.
And you also said that, I went on hikes and stuff with them afterwards as well.
Mm-hmm.
So there is that element of friendship that can still come back.
Bob, we haven't even spoken about you yet.
What difference does that make?
Well, you are not married at the time, but you were.
First of all, I can tell you that looking back at all your situations, I can sympathize the moment in time. Because I lived each of your moments. You know what I mean? Now looking back at it, because it's 11 years ago, which is incredible to say it's passed by so fast.
11 years for you.
11 years for me.
Right.
11 years ago was the devastating moment. 2007, right? I'm the category where I have a child with that person. So
right.
It necessitates a certain contact. It's very minimal. I went through the Facebook phase, the trailing them around. I went through the try to be friends.
Oh, no trailing around. No trailing around.
Okay, no trailing around. In those days of Facebook in 2007, you had no choice. There was no Facebook in 2007, and she has no account, and I didn't even have an account back
then. Right.
So that's the only way to do it.
Right.
But it's the same. You notice it's the same information, right? You just want to know, did I win? What's she up to? Has she found somebody else? Was what she told me the reason why she left? Is it Antigua or not? Right? You're just validating all this. But in the end, all those answers, 11 years later, makes no difference.
Mm-hmm.
What a joke looking back at this.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you'll listen to this podcast 11 years from now.
Yeah?
I hope you'll listen to this podcast in 2030. Listen back to this and say to yourself, wow, was I really that heartbroken?
Mm-hmm.
Because in the moment, it is. But after 11 years, it wipes away. And
but,
that's despite a child.
But
I'm
Bob,
saying all this despite having a child.
You
with her.
Married the woman. So
I married
why did
her
you
three times. I married her.
What?
Yeah.
How's that?
I had to get married in the legal court.
Yeah.
We had like a ceremony.
Yeah.
Then we had another ceremony in her city for her parents. And then we had another traditional ceremony in this city for my parents. So we had three ceremonies. What a commitment. My God. I wasn't getting out of that shared commitment.
And at the time,
yes.
You thought...
you just gave
me the whole Simpsons, yes. I could hear
what?
Matt grinding in you. Anyways,
yes.
So...
I could have had three cars
three,
for that price.
But that's it. So you talk about it now with...
Yeah, I laugh at it. I look back at it, I say...
Oh, you're
it's
more than laughing,
I went
though.
Through. I'm stronger because of it. I look back at all the mistakes, and I say, wow, I've learned so much looking back.
But you
And
were...
I'm better because of it. After all, I'm on this side of 40. I'm on the other side of 40. When you're on the other side of 40, and you'll see that in about 20 years, you don't take stuff serious anymore.
Mm.
Not everything is so freaking heavy.
Right.
And I'm telling you that from
That's
40
true.
Plus.
That's true.
Nothing is that heavy.
Right.
And before 40, everything is heavy. You think that every event in your life that happens to you is going to affect you. And after 40, it's exactly what Tina said. It's all only for you. So take from the experience something for yourself. And remember, it's just a blip in time.
Right.
And now often I find myself thinking about my last day on earth.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, but since the age of 40, I start thinking of what's going to bring me happiness at my deathbed.
Yeah.
I'm going to be at the Glen site, and I'm going to afford myself a private room. I've already imagined it. I want to be in a private room. So whatever money that takes, I want to die in a private room. And I'm going to look back. I'm probably not going to be able to eat or walk, but I want to be extremely happy at that moment.
Content.
Content. And look back at my life, and whatever that age that is, and say, man, you did everything you wanted to do your way. And when you start bringing projecting everything forward to that moment, you realize that in life, every moment is for that. Because at that point, you won't be able to walk or eat. I mean, for me to come here and do this, I had to be able to park my car, walk, climb upstairs, sit down.
Go to Tim Hortons.
All the freedom that I had. And now I'm on this gurney, right? And I'm going to die. And I know I'm going to die. I'm never going to do it again. I'm never going to travel again. I'm never going to go on a plane again. So I think of all those things in the bucket list. And I realize that people build these bucket lists of amazing things to do. And then I realize, you don't need that, Bob. I don't need to go to Indonesia and see that. I'll just turn on TV5 and see it. Do you know what I mean? And then you start thinking, what are the real things that I really want to do that I won't be able to do? And then you have the simple joys. And all what I'm telling you here has everything to do with what you guys spoke about, which is, how do I focus on me? And notice I haven't mentioned my ex at all. And that is the win, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
That is the win. And the only people that count at that point are the only ones that are willing to open that drape and come and see you at possibly the worst physical state, but the best mental state, the state of contentment. And I want to imagine all those people at my bedside, the ones that I truly care about. So I work on those relationships every day. Because I can almost imagine, who do I want beside me? And my number one, of course, is my son, who's going to be always beside me. I expect him to be there. And you know who's not there?
Your ex.
She's not even there. And here we are talking about her. And she's not even going to be there at that moment. So that's why I wanted to set up that
scene. Do we
know
that for sure?
Well, I'm not asking her to be there. I'm not even going to inform her that I'm there. So
sounds like you're controlling your death. Like,
I'm working on it. I'm working on that scene. Yes,
yeah.
I'm working on that. Maybe it's a bit of an obsession, but it also makes me realize what's important in my life.
But Bob,
yes.
You saying that brings about two answers from me.
Yes.
Number one is the idea.
But you're not 40 yet.
Oh,
you have a few milestones before 40.
Correct.
One is probably, even though it's societally accepted, to probably have a child. I presume it's something you want, despite what society tells you. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. Do you want to have a child?
I do.
Okay, and that's despite what society is putting on you. That's for you, right?
I'm indifferent to what.
Okay, good. Okay, so you probably want to have a child.
Correct.
That's a significant life event. That's going to change a lot of your thinking and outlook towards life. It's an incredible commitment, bigger than the one you're going to take with yourself. Because for the first 10 years, you're going to give 90% of your life to somebody else. So you better be pretty resilient and strong at that moment to be able to give a decade of your life. Let's say it happens for you at 32. You won't be able to take care of you until 42 properly. So it's a big commitment. So it's a life-changing event. And the other thing, of course, is if or if not, you want to take another shared commitment with somebody else. Just like we opened the show, she mentioned that I have to try to imagine my life with that person for many, many years. And if I can't imagine it, then I'm not interested.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So those are the two aspects I wanted to mention that usually happen before 40.
Regardless of age, I am younger than you. I would have to agree with the planned death of sorts. I think
you do.
Absolutely. I think planned death. Well, I'm using the analogy to summarize that.
You're right.
Paragraph.
I don't want to die like in a car accident.
No, I know.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No.
I don't want to die on a plane that goes down because the pilot made an error.
I want to plan my death.
Yeah.
You want to make sure you go out having knowing at the time. That everything you've done
and wanted to do.
Satisfied you.
Correct.
And rendered you...
And I don't have anything else to live for.
Absolutely.
I don't need to live another day. I've done everything I wanted to do in this period of time, in this life. I've done it.
Content.
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 So if you can just work on that list every day a little bit, you'll have you'll actually do all the good things in life.
But I don't think that starts at 40. What do you think, Jess? Do you think that...
The realization starts at 40. The realization, because now you're getting older.
Despite all of that,
yes,
you went through three weddings.
Three weddings. And what an experience. I'm so happy I did it. I look back at it, walking around the fire.
You don't regret
times.
It at all?
Why? At the time, of course I did. I said, what a waste of money. And I got angry. Now I look back at it and say, wow, I'll never have another chance to do it. Right? I did it. I know what it is. I sat there for 3 hours in front of a fire. I walked around it. Yeah, you remember it. So I say to myself, it's another experience. Check mark. I know what it feels like. And I did it, and I don't want to do it again. It's done.
Are you closed off to falling in love again?
Absolutely not.
Okay. So
absolutely
you just don't
not.
Want to get married again?
Never say never. I'm open to everything. You know, I thought hard about this question of who would be my ideal mate. I always think of it as three options. It's either another woman who has already kids, and we're going to have what we call a blended family. One option. The other option is a woman who is not interested in kids, but wouldn't mind raising my kid as their own. And the third one is meeting a younger woman who is going to bring a certain energy into my life, because I still think of myself as 26. So a woman who's 24, 25 is going to want to have a child. And that's something I would never want to take away from that person. So if it was the right person, then I would take the commitment, the shared commitment, and say, okay, I'm going to have another child. I admit it. It's okay. It's later in life, but I'll have to raise that child. It's my child.
Mm-hmm.
But I won't be able to do it as deeply as I did the first one.
Mm-hmm.
A, because I've done it before, and B, because I'm just physically older.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do that again, right? Lifting the baby, doing the bath, these are all things I did. I remember laying him down on the bathroom floor,
mm-hmm.
bent over, giving him a bath, you know? I remember those days like it was yesterday, and it passes. Can I do all that over again? Well, if it's the right woman, and if she wants to do most of the heavy lifting, of course I'll participate. But this is mostly for her. And I'm willing to share that part. Those are my three options. I've been zero for three for 11 years. Zero for three. So the answer to the true answer to the question is, I know what I want, but I also don't know what I want. I'm open to all three options.
Okay. But that's good that you're open at least.
Totally.
Right.
And we'll see which one hits.
Mm-hmm.
You never know in life.
I believe
yes.
only two absolutes in life. One of them is music.
The other one is death.
No. Well, I guess death is
okay.
also an absolute,
yes.
so let's call it three.
Okay.
The other one is love.
Ooh,
and
absolutes.
And I say that because, and now I bring this forward to you three, can you love someone else the same way that you loved
Ooh,
the person you did
that's
before?
That's a deep question.
I can love somebody more than the person I loved. Yeah.
Really?
Absolutely. Why does it have to be that was the pinnacle of my love?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
It was just the first love, maybe. Maybe.
Well, I wouldn't even say that was the first love,
mm-hmm.
but it was just a love that was expressed differently. It was the love
yes.
that would have gone the furthest had I gotten married. But it was, it's not the most that I can love in my life, and I know that already.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm absolutely certain that I can love beyond that.
And the rapidity with which they answered this question leads me to believe it's credible.
What?
This answer is credible.
It took me back. I didn't expect him to answer so quickly.
Oh,
Jess,
really?
you agree?
Yes, but I also have more to add. That when you say love is an absolute, I don't think it necessarily has to be romantic love. Your life can be full of love for your friendships,
Correct.
For your family.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And even further than that, it can be love for your community, for your country, for the world, for creating a better place.
So there's other places to get love from than another physical person.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay.
Again, we're going back to that bucket list. And for me,
mm-hmm.
that famous bucket list, Bob, because I think it's a really poignant point. I, on my deathbed, want to know that I either was or still am going with that person
to the next life?
No, but what I'm saying is that I'm going to... Okay, so either they already passed away, or I'm passing away before them, and they are the person that completed me. They complimented me in every way, and so I then ask, well, if you feel you already had that, and now you have to find that again, how can you then commit like you did before more than you already did?
I have to interject.
Please.
That sentence, completed you, has been kind of almost about to fall off this chair.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you feel that you're incomplete, then what kind of a woman are you expecting to meet?
That is a great point. But it's not that you're not already complete. It's just that you want someone... Let's use the word compliment then. You want compliment. You want the yin and yang. You want there
why?
To be chemistry.
Why?
Because if you don't have a yin and yang, what do you have?
But why can't you just be happy to be on your own?
You
and
can.
Have some really good friends.
Well, because I think that... For me personally, not having that is a hole. I think it's a hole that needs to be filled for me personally in my life.
Not having what?
Not having
romantic
that
love.
The romantic love and that life partner.
Mm.
You can have romantic love though. I mean, you can have like romantic flings, be interested in people.
But
date.
You want the marriage and the kids, I think.
You want the soulmate.
Yeah, I think you do.
You want the marriage.
I agree. We all agree around the table here.
Yeah. I actually genuinely do. For me, it's just finding that right piece to your puzzle and hoping that you can be the right piece to their puzzle.
But who said life is a puzzle even?
You don't think life is a puzzle?
I'm gonna contest it again.
You don't think life is a puzzle? You don't think a woman is a piece in your life?
That's what my mother would say. For me, these are old precepts. I'm complete the way I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking for more personal completion.
Absolutely.
Towards that list before the Glenn site.
And yet you have three limitations, though.
No, they're not limitations. They're options. They're options to share on the road. I'm going down the road anyways. We have no choice but to go down this road, right? So you go down the road, and if somebody joins you on that path from one of those three intersecting places in the forest, they come onto your path. And you go for a little bit, and some of them are going to drop off the path again because that path is not for them. Or they go with you a bit longer, or they fight you on that path. Right? There's all kinds of options on this path into the green, but you have to believe in your path.
And I think also by using words like missing, you know, the puzzle piece and all that stuff would imply that there's a part of you that's missing. There's that needs to be filled. So it comes right back to that completed thing.
Yeah.
Right? And I have to say, I don't know if it's an age thing, because I don't usually like to say, well, after 40 this happens, or after 30 this happens.
Right.
But I will say that I have definitely grown more full and more, I feel more complete, which is also what makes me more choosy about who I let into my life, because I don't feel that there's a need that needs to be filled. It's more that if I really feel the desire to spend time with somebody's company and they feel like the same desire, then we can both mutually connect. But there isn't a lack to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I don't know if it's a lack, but I guess for me, there's just when there isn't that person, for me, something's missing.
Can you walk down
you're
that
looking.
Forest by yourself? That path in the forest? Can you? Try to imagine it. Like, you know, a rough pace, and there's two green on the two sides, and there's probably sunset in the clearing, and you're walking. Can you do that with nobody at your side?
I could, but
you
I don't
could.
Want. But I don't want to.
Then you know what you want.
That's right.
Then you know what you want.
And that's the point. Especially right now, I can safely say the time right now.
Because it's
as
a rebound situation? Because the rebound does exist, right?
Mm-hmm.
Rebound does exist. Come on, we're not going to deny it in the
yes,
room. There
does.
Is a desire,
absolutely.
Because it comes back to the win again, right? I got to win something here.
Well,
and you said that earlier, just 15 minutes earlier, you said, I got a win.
Yeah, but we're going to get back to the win. But
okay.
It's funny you should mention rebound. I think that term is relative. I mean, to be fair, the person that I was last with, I want to be 100% honest, I thought that person was a rebound. And
did?
That, oh, absolutely.
Okay.
I don't think it doesn't mean that they weren't. It just developed into a deeper connection afterwards.
I knew within a month, this is not anything that I expected, and despite the fact that Bob, I can always go through that path and walk into that forest
by
alone.
Yourself. Yeah.
I don't want to. I want to.
I don't think that most people want to be honest with you. I would love to have somebody by my side. I would love to have dinners with somebody. I would love to spend time with somebody and have those relationship feelings again. I would love all of that. But if I have to choose between being on my own or being with somebody that I don't have that passion and that desire for, then I'll be on my own.
Oh, I agree with that. Yeah, yes. I do agree with that.
Yeah. So people join in this path. They come into your life for whatever reason. And as much as they come in, they may go out because they don't have the connection.
Yeah.
And they should feel it as well because they're on their own path. It just happens to intersect at a moment in time. And it went for a little bit.
Yeah.
Why?
But it doesn't mean you go off your path. It just means they're on a different path. And she's on a different path.
And that's
she came into your life for that period of time.
Yeah.
And you shared a lot of common goals at that time. And some projections into the future. But then she diverted off. And I think we, as humans, try to figure that out. Why she went on this path. And I think the story that you told so eloquently is, does it really matter? Because at the end of the day, they're on that path anyways. The path that's not yours. So why are you trying to figure out? It's like you went off your path, went back and followed them down this one.
I'll tell you
where they're going.
I'll tell you why, though. I'll tell you exactly why. And this is where I was.
And then we laugh at that because you and I, we can laugh at that and say, "Wait a second, I lost my path in here."
I'll tell you exactly why. And this is, you have to be dead honest in these things.
You do.
I'm not like this now, but I'll tell you where I was a couple of weeks ago, maybe even a month ago. You want, as the person who's been left, that path to reconnect.
Mm-hmm.
Very
that
true.
Is what
very
it is.
True.
Everyone
very true.
Deep down,
very
we can
true.
All admit this.
Yes.
We all want that
of
path
course.
To reconnect.
Why?
You
why
want them to
different?
Want you back.
I wouldn't even say want them to want you back because I'm sure we can all say, no matter what, Bob, no matter what, your ex-wife will always have a special place for you, no matter what. Would you disagree?
Disagree. Right off the bat. Disagree.
Okay.
Special place? Define special.
No, but I think there will always be a certain...
She's on a different path.
Perhaps, but that
very,
memory...
Very different path.
That memory of love.
We were on a shared path for 7 years. We enjoyed our time together for a lot of it. Let's say using the 80-20 rule, 80% of it. And now she decided to take a different path, which we all have the option to take. She changed her mind.
Perhaps, but what I'm saying is
yes.
that she will always. And you know what? Let's not ask on her in her perspective,
yes.
but in your perspective,
mm-hmm.
won't you always have her in your heart?
Never.
Never. Really, Tina, Jess. In your past relationships,
his
there.
His wife in my heart.
Maybe.
No. What I'm
it's
asking is
complex.
That are these people that had a special place in you? Momentarily, like he said, along that timeline where your paths crossed, aren't they still there to a certain extent? Aren't they still within you, even though your paths have diverted?
I would say for me, yes, for sure, I still do want the best for him, but I don't feel that the relationship did end, but I was sort of accepting of it ending, so there was no fighting on my end, so there's no animosity. I do still want the best for you.
But you do treasure. I think what he's asking, did you treasure that time that
yes.
you were on the path with him?
Absolutely.
It made you who you are today.
No.
Not made you, but you can see that it had an effect on your life,
it
a positive
contributed
to who you are.
To me being a little bit of a better person, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you had those experiences, those dinners and movies and times together and vacations together.
Mm-hmm.
And those, look, you're smiling about it, which means that in for that period of time, it was good.
And that's what I'm asking. Do those memories ever,
yes.
and Tina, I'll ask you the same thing, do those memories come back? Do you look at things and you think of those times? Do you do things? Do you hear a song? And does it remind you of them?
I would say that right now I'm sort of going through like the breakup of the friendship afterwards because that actually just recently ended about 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
So yeah, I do. I do miss them. I miss the friendship. I miss being able to hang out with them. He was my best friend.
Right.
So I miss that.
Well, I think it's I think that's usually something that one would feel when it's closer to the relationship. Like Jess, it was only 6 months ago, right?
Right.
That to me is still really, really fresh. And
mm-hmm.
it's really, obviously, I would say probably the first year is always the hardest because Christmas comes and then Valentine's comes and then birthday
mm-hmm.
comes. And it's always these special occasions that kind of bring you back, right, to that
mm-hmm.
time. So I would say, honestly, that first year is always, you know, you're getting over your stumbling blocks and all that stuff. But for me, I mean, at this point in my life, there's certainly nothing that I listen to, no songs, no smell of cologne or anything that brings me back.
But that's what I wanted to ask. You, having dealt with that such a long time ago, do you ever think despite the fact that so much time has passed, do you still think about that person, or is there something that triggers that person coming back into your
life? I still talk to that person.
Yeah.
Friends, right?
There you go.
I'm actually friends with all of my exes.
She did the unthinkable.
She did the unthinkable.
There's not one single person that I've ever dated in my life that I am not friends
with. That's amazing.
That
to me is amazing.
And for her to speak about it so shruggishly, it's like incredible. She holds no animosity.
If they're not speaking to me, that's a choice on their own, but I have made peace with every single person that I've ever dated. And I haven't had
a huge
list or anything, but you know, I've had some serious relationships, and truthfully I can move forward in peace with a clear conscience, and that for me is like the win, if you want to call it that.
Interestingly enough, Freud, of all people, says that sexuality is everyone's weakness. So when you see that person again, there is no inkling of desire that comes back. Whether it be 6, 10 years, 6 months, 3 months.
I would say maybe because of just the in general, like I think that as humans we're sexual beings, like we do think about that on a regular basis. I think
but
so
with that person, the moment you see them,
I think because of that person, you having a history of the sexuality with them, it may trigger more, but it's not necessarily sex with them, it's just the memories of the sex with them.
Correct.
They come
they're
back.
Treasured moments in the experience on the shared path.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just separate that.
Mm-hmm.
It's very intimate. Do you think about that?
Again, I'm someone who, dealing with this now, I still see the person once a week.
Right, so does it trigger those memories? What does it trigger for you?
It's very interesting because I can tell that we're both, especially now that we work together and we're not together, you know, because when we were together and we would work together, we would look at each other and we would give each other little winks and things like that, and it would be fun, and we would talk and we would make jokes. And now we both specifically don't look at each other. Now, you know, the first couple of weeks that we were working together and we were back, I could see her looking at me and I had to pretend like I can't see it, and you know, and we're looking at each other, and because there is still a fondness, maybe it's because of the circumstances of the way it ended. So when I see her, it doesn't just bring back for me the sexual desire, the experience, although it seeing her in the physical form does trigger that. But it's more, I think of all the little memories. I think of, you know, going to surprise her at work, or I think of, you know, those little dates, or I think of all the intricate details, or I think of her birthday, or I think of Christmas, or I think of Valentine's Day. It's a lot more. And I think that is something that maybe I have to work on and just realize that, you know what, even though we're on a different path, it's okay to also work together, and you don't need to, you know, embrace that side that just wants to remember everything. You can also, you know, remember the bad things. You can also just think, okay, well, this is just someone I work with now, and that's okay.
Yeah.
And the reality is, would I like to be friends again and talk normally?
Sure you would.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
But
you know
I
what?
Think that'll come in
the likelihood
in the
of that is very, very likely.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
It just will take that period in time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the maturity on both of your sides to say, okay, let's put aside our disagreements and be friends again. And it'll be peaceful.
So then, I guess the last question I would have for all of you is, what are the steps to properly heal through this? It's relative to everyone, but what do you all think are, there could be 5, there could be 10, there could be 2. What are the steps that someone should take to get through this kind of hardship?
You go through the anger, you go through the Facebook stalking, I go through the phase where I want to get drunk every night. And you go through a reckless phase, and then at one point you pick yourself up and you make yourself start doing the things that you do in normal life. You go through the motions, and eventually, not every day is going to be happy or a good day, but there are little moments that are good, and then you have to choose to focus on them and look out for them, and the more you look out for them, the more your days get better, and you focus less on the relationship and what has come and gone, and you focus on what's going on now and where you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I also think, you know, like a death, an actual physical death, I think there's certain steps that people have to accept and acknowledge, and it's a mourning of sorts, right? Especially when you've been with somebody for so many years, and it's not just the person that is leaving, but the ideas that you built up in your own mind about where this relationship was going, right? So we date somebody for a year, and you have 1 year of their physical presence, but
And then what happens on those days where you are just too low? What do you do?
I guess it depends what you have on your schedule. If you have to go to work, then I think that, I mean, you have to go to work. You put it in a box, you put on your brave face, you go to work. When you come home, then put on your sad music in the car on the way home. Go with a SAQ and get your bottle of wine. Go get your tub of ice cream. Cuddle up on the couch with your blanket and watch the TV show, watch that sad movie or whatever you need to do. If you like drawing, if you like painting, do that. If you can't feel like you can relax at home unless it's clean, then tidy up your place. I think that's also a great thing, is tidying up your place, decluttering your life, reorganizing your home space so that you can feel comfortable at home.
Is that what you did?
Part of it, yeah.
Okay.
Honestly, yeah, because we did live together, and so there was the whole replacing of my things and the place that they go in the spaces that he had left behind.
Right. And Tina, what did you do on those, on the days where it was at the, you felt that you were at the absolute lowest point? Did
mm-hmm.
you feel the need to be alone? Did you feel the need to just power through it? Like I mentioned before, what was the process of that day?
I'm a person who I can isolate myself very, very quickly and easily because
okay.
I generally tend to be alone most of the time unless
right.
I have to be at work or with clients.
Right.
So I could see the danger in that when I allow myself to be alone for too long. And that was what I was doing. So I took on more clients and I basically forced myself to work, and that's what kind of got me through physically every single day. But to raise my spirits and to get me out of some real low funks, it comes right back down to Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
I would pop in some of his movies and, you know, Jim Gaffigan and anybody
oh, yeah.
that would make me laugh, and I would just have to get through it. Talk to really a couple of really good close friends that would keep reminding me why he wasn't right for me in the first place. Sometimes you need those people
mm-hmm.
to speak truth into your life and let you see that, you know, this was not the best match to begin with.
Absolutely. I want to thank you both very much for being here with us, for taking the time just to talk about your relationships, your pain, your hardship, how you got through it. And most importantly, that you were just honest. It was so, Bob, wouldn't you say? Their
Absolutely.
Perspectives. Both stories was,
yes.
they were just super refreshing.
Life perspectives.
Yeah.
Life perspectives.
Absolutely.
In which, you know what, a common thread throughout everything is time does truly heal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's more importantly, I think, not just time, but what you do with your time.
Correct. What you do with your time. The quantity and the quality of that time has a very big healing power. And all of our stories reflect that.
I think if there's anything we've all learned, and if there's anything I can take from this, is that when we're going, Bob, for that infamous win, we're going for the win not to stick it to them, not to win the relationship, but to just win on your own in this. You have a network of support.
Mm-hmm.
You can pull through it no matter what. Whether it be you focus on the things that are good for you, whether it be you make sure that you strive for better, and most importantly, that you don't ever let a relationship, a person,
change who you are.
Hey, bingo.
All right. Well, thank you, Ryan, for opening up your story, and thank you all for listening.